Blog Talk Radio.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
Be beautiful.
Hello to everyone. Thank you all for joining me at this time. My name is Shravi Zane, and I'm coming on to say hello to all of you. I definitely missed bringing messages forward for all of you. The reason why I was taking a little hiatus is because I just recently moved into my new place, okay? Me and my babies, we finally got us a nice, you know, really nice apartment, you know, and so I'm really happy about that. And so it's been almost 7 days since I've done my last message, and that's generally not like me. So I just want to give you all a shout out and let you know I love you. I'm going to be reading the cards, so just pick up on the energy, see what messages need to be brought forward for you all. I do strongly feel like we are, many of the chosen are at this point of breakthrough, okay? So if you feel like, okay, I'm pushing, you know, I'm getting towards the end of this finish line, if you feel like you're almost there, it's because you are almost there. Whatever it is you're working on, whatever it is you've been putting your focus and your energy and your hard work and your prayers and those beautiful intentions towards, it is manifesting, okay? And so some of you might have already broken that ribbon and said, I've made it to the finish line. And so you have beautiful testimonies to bring. So please be sure to share your testimonies to encourage others. You know, leave it in the comments below. Be sure to like and subscribe to my channel to find that my messages resonate with you. And, of course, if you want a private reading from me, you can always email me, and I will be happy to book a reading for you. If you want to order my hair or body oils, also be sure to email me. So let's get right into it, okay? I got a couple of decks here to see what the message is for you all. So first card that I have coming out is what I thought was opportunity, is potential, okay? So many of you have a strong potential. Something is, I feel like the energy is picking up towards something that has great potential. So I'm going to clarify and see, what is this potential here? Because this looks like a volcano to me. And so it's like the energy could be picking up before something actually comes to fruition here. What is this potential? Let's see. So we have here three cards. Okay. Your hard work is paying off. So like I said, y'all been putting in that work. It is paying off. Okay. So none of the work that you are putting in is in vain. Okay. You're actually reaching those goals that you desire to reach. Then you have here power, okay, so you're stepping into your power, you're using that wisdom that you have here, working hard, the number eight is here, and then I'm also getting this Capricorn energy, so it could definitely be dealing with the potential that you have towards something that you're building, okay, whether it's you getting that raise or moving up, climbing the ladder in your company, or you beginning your own business and stepping into your personal strength and using that wisdom in order to create here, whatever it is, you also have to think it through. So really listening to your intuition is something that you need to think about. Let me see, what do you need to be thinking about here? Think it through. Okay, so you have here, the answers you need are coming, and rejoice in celebration. So listen, some of y'all might be Geminis. I do have a strong Gemini energy coming out with two cards, as well as Leo, Capricorn. That's the signs that's here right now. But you have here, rejoice and celebration. Think it through. The answers you need are coming. So if there's something that you're thinking about and waiting to receive some answers for because you've been putting in the work and you know that this thing has potential, and it's like, okay, when is this thing going to come into fruition? When am I going to reap the harvest of the seeds that I've been planting? You will be in this energy of rejoicing and celebrating, okay? Rejoicing and celebrating with, like-minded people or people that are happy for your success. And then I'm also picking up with the number three, creativity. So some of you might be doing something that awakens your creativity and really allows you to move from a space that, you know, something that you're passionate about, something that you know, you wake up wanting to do every day. You have that spark for it, that drive for it. And so the answers you need are coming, all right? So if you're waiting on those answers, just know that they are coming. At the bottom of the deck, this is beautiful. I have material and spiritual prosperity. So this is balance. This is harmony, okay? With the number six, it's all about harmony. So harmony in both aspects of your life, both the spiritual and the material aspect of your life. Remembering that you are a spirit having a human experience, it looks to me like many of you have been out there doing the work. And so you're not neglecting the spiritual aspect of yourself, and you're not neglecting the human nature of yourself. You're actually doing what's necessary to balance the two. You're planting seeds in both areas. And so it looks like, okay, is that potential? With that card coming out first, when is this going to come into fruition? When am I going to see the fruit of the heart of the labor that I have put in? And so it just feels like that season is coming in. Harvest, reaping season is here, chosen seed. And I remember saying this before in a past message. And so this is, you know, it's exciting energy, I feel. I see wish fulfillment, getting what you desire, you know, what you've been praying for and manifesting and calling in. The energy that you've been projecting out there is what you are attracting back. So you know what you've been doing. If you've been planting those seeds, you've been doing the work to heal, and you've been operating from your heart space, and you've been stepping into your creativity and just living out and being who you was meant to be unapologetically, just authentically, just know that a beautiful outcome is coming for you. So let's see. What else is here? You have here, look at that, balanced spirituality and practicality. So balancing those spiritual things with those practical things, the spiritual aspect of yourself as well as the physical. That's what I was just talking about. And because of that, you have the Sun card coming out, which is happiness, you know, that light, that beautiful energy, high vibrational energy, because, you know, that's what the Sun gives off, that high vibrational energy. But it's also enlightenment, okay? So it's like, the number 10 is here, so this also indicates completion, but it also breaks down to the number 1, which indicates a new beginning. So a new beginning and happiness where you're going to be able to rejoice and celebrate because you've been doing the work to balance out the spiritual things and the practical things. And so, yes, base chakra is here at the bottom of the deck, which indicates that you are creating that solid foundation that's immovable with another number 1 there. Some of you might have been seeing the number 1. Let me see. The synchronistic numbers that I have is the number 1. So far, that's the one that's coming out repeatedly. Then you have here, don't let your past hold you back, okay? Something about facing the truth because you have truth here. And then you have don't let your past hold you back. So south node energy. So it could be seeing the truth about something concerning your past. Something that might have kept you kind of bound to it in the past, where maybe before you didn't face the truth about this person, place, or thing. And so now it's like, okay, you've been given the truth. And for some of you, you don't have a clear answer just yet. That's why you have the answers you need are coming. So here is the wind of truth, okay? So the wind is blowing, it's whipping around you because that's that energy of truth. One thing that I like to do when I go outside, because right now it is cold, y'all. So my way of continuing to connect is, you know, when the wind is whipping and it's blowing on me, because being in, you know, Chicago type of energy, I'm not in Chicago, but, you know, Illinois, the wind blows hard. And so I always give thanks for the wind just clearing me and purifying my energy, its spirit and its flesh of all things that does not serve my highest good. But I also see the wind as being like the breath of life and the breath of wisdom. And so when I inhale, I set my intentions right before I walk outside to that cold. As I inhale infinite wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so this is what it reminds me of with, you know, this this person, this energy, the spirit up here blowing the wind here of truth, though. That's what that says down there. So the wind of truth, which gives you that clarity and that understanding. And so when you get the truth, whatever answers it is that you need, accept the truth for what it is. Don't let the past hold you back. So this means you're going to be stepping out of that comfort zone and moving towards your north, which is your destiny. Okay, south node energy, if you stay stuck in your south node energy, it means that you're staying stuck on that karmic cycle. Because generally that south node energy is also attached to past life energy that you brought into this lifetime that you didn't quite overcome, lessons that you didn't quite learn. And so this is just saying, be in the now, don't resist it, accept it for what it is, and use that truth to propel you forward towards your destiny, okay, towards happiness and towards freedom. And so, yes, the answers you need are coming, but this truth is not the type of truth that's going to rock your boat and take you backwards. This is the type of truth that's going to propel your boat and get you moving forward. If you feel like things have been stagnant on you in this stuck energy and not really knowing which direction life is taking you, this truth is going to give you the momentum that you need. The first card that you had coming out is potential, okay? So right now, generally when something has potential, then you don't really see the full scope of what it can offer, right? Because it has potential. So it's like you're just waiting to see what might come of that thing. That's the first card that came out for y'all. And so it's like, okay, something has potential. You're waiting to see what the potential outcome is for this thing, but you're waiting on certain answers. That truth is going to blow you, and it's going to hit you. It's going to hit you hard. You're going to recognize it for what it is, because it's like that type of wind, you know, everything gets whipped around. It's like you can't avoid this type of truth. You're going to feel this truth. You're going to see this truth, and you're going to hear this truth, okay? And so this is that type of truth where your spiritual team is saying, we're going to reveal to you what needs to be seen so that you can finally release what needs to be released and move towards something greater, something higher, something that's going to put you in this energy of celebrating and rejoicing and, you know, moving towards balance if you felt unbalanced before. And it's going to show you that the work that you've been putting in, your hard work is paying off. So like I said, regardless of what area of your life it is, it could be you might have been putting in a whole lot of hard work to get rid of karmic energy, whether it's internal or from people outside of yourself. You've just been putting in that work to make sure that your energy is purified. Your hard work is paying off, and you will reap a harvest as a result of the sacrifices that you have made. Like I said, if it's dealing with work, or if you've been putting in the work toward a relationship with someone that you just really love. Your hard work is paying off when you're doing it genuinely from your heart and you're not bringing in karmic energy with that, okay? So look, if you are karmic and you've been putting in hard work to make people's life a living hell, then your hard work is paying off too. You just getting ready to reap what you sow, okay? So if, you know, the law of cause and effect, you know, good or bad, the pendulum still has to swing. You see what I'm saying? And so either way, whatever side you're on, just know that the harvest is coming. You will see the results of your hard work, okay? So now, let's see what else is coming out. Ooh, that's a lot of cards, y'all. Let me see. Ugh. Y'all know I'm getting old anytime I move. I'm doing better, though. I've been, you know, walking up the stairs a lot. You know, I've been taking the stairs a lot, moving things and just putting in a lot of hard work. So I know my hard work got to pay off because I just give thanks to the Most High God. You know, one thing that you never want to neglect so that you don't have to go back and relearn certain lessons is never forget to stay in a space of gratitude. Practice gratitude no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on. Even when it's not the most comfortable situation, still practice gratitude because it's like, give thanks for the fact that you can experience being uncomfortable because you're alive to do it. You see what I'm saying? It's always something that you can give gratitude for. So you have here reward and recognition. You're going to be rewarded and recognized for all of the hard work that you have put in, whether it's by people outside of yourself or just by the Most High, not just, okay, by the Most High God and your spiritual team. That's a great recognition to receive from your spiritual team because as above, so below. So they make the necessary adjustments in the spiritual realm to ensure that everything unfolds and manifests in the physical on your behalf. So you will be rewarded for what you've been doing. The number three is coming out twice now. So we have threes and then the number one. So you might have been seeing those synchronicities. You have here going forward. So things are definitely moving ahead for you, okay? So again, if you felt like there was a stuck energy, things are moving ahead because you've been taking a path. You've been taking a path, and so it's just like with this tree right here, it's obscuring the sunlight just a little bit, but it's like you just keep on moving forward, you're going to end up having that sun shine down on you, okay, which is that sun card that came out here, right here with the light card. That's the sun card, okay? So just keep going forward. Then you have here spiritual strength, okay? Draw in on that spiritual strength because right behind that is meditate and contemplate. So for some of you, meditation is a great way for you to find balance, okay? You know, generally for everybody, but for me, I don't have like a strict way of meditating. For me, meditation is showing gratitude. For me, meditation is deep breathing whenever I'm just consciously aware of my breath. For me, meditation is listening to frequencies or just taking a, you know, a salt bath or just doing something that is nurturing to myself that's going to balance out my energy. That's meditation to me. Everybody see it differently, you know. However you see it, do what works for you, because your spiritual strength is everything right now. So if you feel like your physical circumstances are not changing fast enough, and it's like, okay, I see the potential, but man, I'm waiting. Okay, when am I going to have my breakthrough? Continue to stay in that energy of maintaining your internal balance right from where you are until that breakthrough happens. And then even once the breakthrough happens, you want to take that energy with you. You do not want to leave it behind saying, okay, I've overcome the adversity. I'm feeling good. I got everything that I need. So now I'm going to start neglecting my spirituality and just start focusing in on this great harvest that I got. You don't want to do that, because trust and believe, you will get right back into learning some very heavy karmic lessons, and it'll be even stronger than what you already went through. So you already know you don't want to deal with that. So let me see what else is here. You have love and the end of a tough cycle approaches. So for some of you, a tough cycle is approaching. The end of a tough cycle is approaching concerning love, okay, because we have love coming out with this card. So it could be that you're having to leave behind a karmic relationship, and, you know, it was a very tough cycle, and you're finally getting to that place where it's like, okay, I'm almost at the end of the road with this. Some of you all might be finalizing divorce. Some of you all might be finally getting that new place to where you don't, you know, or whatever it is, is coming to a close. And so love is here. This could also be opening up a new door for a more genuine connection, a soulmate connection, a very strong and powerful union that has a strong potential for growth, something that's very beautiful here. You know, this card is just very beautiful in and of itself. And so it's like you might be attracting someone to you that you can grow with, and that it's going to feel, it's like a breath of fresh air. Just looking at this picture, I wish I was just right here. It just looks warm. You know, the flowers are here. And if you look a little further down, it's like this beautiful view. I mean, this is beautiful. So it's like it could be that you're ending that tough cycle where things was just hard and it was dark and it was, you know, just dull. And, you know, it lacked that, you know, that passion and that, you know, that excitement. And, you know, it was tough. So that means that it was hard. It was karmic. It was painful, you know. And so then you move towards the love here. And I'm also picking up with this card here, the end of a tough cycle approaches. This does say full moon in Capricorn. So Capricorn energy in the tarot, it can also be the devil card, okay? And so the devil card would indicate being in a very toxic or a karmic cycle with someone where you felt chained and bound, where you felt like you had no freedom, you know. Maybe it was largely based on lust or something that was very toxic or karmic, you know, addictions or anything like that, materialism. That's generally the devil card energy, what that brings. And so the end of that type of cycle is approaching for you all, and you're moving out of that towards something that brings life and freedom and happiness and just beauty, where you can really embrace life and find a lot of peace, okay? So just look forward to that. And then you have here, speak your world into being. Like I said, strong Gemini energy is coming out. So it doesn't have to be your sun sign. It can literally be somewhere in your chart and your placements here. But even if it's not, it's just like that energy of, you know, when I think about the Gemini energy, I think about the mind and the thoughts, you know, the way that the words that you're projecting out into the universe, things that you're thinking, what you're saying, and all of these types of things. And so this card says, speak your world into being. And this says first quarter moon in Gemini. So it's like you, because, see, it came out with trapped in fear. It came out with trapped in fear, and you recognize that the border here is blue, so that deals with the throat chakra. It could be that some of you were trapped in fear because you felt like there was no way out of your circumstance, or maybe you was even trapped in fear in terms of communicating your truth and what you want. Maybe out of a fear that, I don't know what this fear is. I'm going to clarify it and see. But for some of you with the number 8 here, it could be dealing with your abundance, maybe feeling as if there was nothing that you can do to shift your circumstances, feeling as if you was trapped at a job that you hated or trapped in a situation that didn't allow you to really awaken your creativity or something that you wasn't so passionate about. But whatever it is, there was some fear surrounding speaking your truth. And so you want to come up out of that energy. Let me see, what is this trapped in fear energy? What is this? Look at that, y'all. The card that clarified is suffering in silence, okay? What number is this? Number 9. So now I am seeing a synchronicity with the number 9 here, suffering in silence. And so what was you trapped in fear about? Communicating your truth, speaking openly about something to someone, potentially to someone. You go from the number 8 to the number 9 with these two cards, and so it's like that energy might have been getting progressively worse when you was really finding yourself in your head about speaking your truth here, feeling like something was out of reach with the suffering and silence card. So it could be that maybe for some of you, just the way that these cards are laid out, for some of you, it could indicate that concerning love. Now, this message, this card might not be for everybody, but for some of you, you might have someone that you want to be able to openly communicate your truth to, but there's a fear of doing it. You're stuck in your head about it, maybe feeling as if you don't know the right words to say, or feeling like this person is out of reach, out of touch, maybe feeling as if you missed an opportunity with this person because you was trapped in fear, trapped in a situation, or, you know, dealing with this tough cycle. Like I said, the end of a tough cycle is approaching, so maybe you feel like you missed out on the opportunity, and you might be stuck in your head. But speaking your world into existence, remembering that you're speaking your world into existence, whether it's negative thoughts or positive thoughts, you are still playing a role in co-creating. So, again, it's like I tell you all the time, if you're going to think about something, if you're going to think your existence into being, then you want to be intentional about thinking about those things that have the best outcome, you know, that's in alignment with what you desire versus what you don't desire. And so this is where you start to check yourself. You check yourself when it comes to your thought process. So even when it comes to this situation, if you are thinking about the worst case scenario, okay, this person is not going to communicate with me, or they probably moved on, I know I missed the boat, I missed that opportunity, I waited too long, or I messed this thing up, then it's just this strong energy of what you think, what you speak, what you feel, you're creating something. So shift the energy. Alchemize, transmute the energy, balance that thing back out. Think about the potential. Think about potential that you want it to be, okay? Because the potential could be good or bad. So it's like, okay, what is the potential of this thing? Think it through. And that's why I feel like so much Gemini energy is coming out then. It's like I said, it doesn't have to be that you are Gemini. It could be more so your thoughts need to be shifted concerning your current circumstances in whatever category of your life it's in, okay? So once you do that, you will be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you'll be able to move forward, because I feel like this part right here, if you feel like things are not moving forward and it's just stuck and there's a postponement, it's only because you're being shown that your thoughts need to be readjusted so that you can help to expedite the process of moving forward in the direction that you want to move in. And so that's a strong message from your spiritual team in that regard. So let me see. I'm going to pull from a different deck. See what else wants to come out here. Listen to your intuition when it comes to these things, okay? Go within. That's so important. Pay attention to those feelings and those messages. Pay attention to the numbers that are being shown to you. The synchronicities are very important right now, okay? Especially in the age of Aquarius. This is a great way. You know, many people are receiving the signs and symbols. Look at this, Five of Swords in the reverse. Y'all already know, Five of Swords, Queen of Swords in the reverse. This old karmic energy right here, you know, some people might be mad because you're not entertaining this type of mess anymore. They do something for you. You're not going back trying to retaliate against them. You're just saying, you know what, I'm cutting you off and I'm not going to communicate with you. Some of these people are very cutthroat. Look at this, all of these swords. Swords deals with air energy. So air deals with thoughts. It deals with communication, and it deals with Aquarius, Libra, Gemini energy. So some of you, you could very well be dealing with an air sign that was in this toxic energy, okay? Some of you are an air sign. I mean, I don't know if you're the ones that was creating this toxic energy. But either way, whichever side of the fence you stand on, it's just showing me that this energy has been defeated. It's no longer effective. It's no longer working because it's in the reverse, okay? Queen of Swords in reverse could be somebody who's very dishonest, very cutthroat in the way that they communicate, whether it's male or female. And then you have the to a source, that energy of I'm blocking this out. I'm no longer going to allow myself to deal with this, but I feel like at one point you might have wore the blinders here and didn't want to face the reality of what you were dealing with. You didn't want to face the reality of the type of people or the type of person that you was working with here, okay? But now it's like the blinders are taken off. It looks like this energy, look at this, you're dropping it because it was painful. It was karmic. It was painful. It was betrayal, okay? It was just like it really kept you on your face, and it kept you from taking the leap of faith towards those things that you desired. You know, a lot of you hesitated on moving towards a new beginning because maybe you felt stuck in this energy. Maybe you felt like this is somebody, this is the type of energy that will do anything against you to wreak havoc in your life for the sake of getting what they want, for the sake of keeping you from moving into a different direction. It's like, so you might have been dealing with somebody that was very manipulative, okay? And so for some of you, you might have felt like you was trapped in fear in that situation, feeling like, okay, I know that there's a potential for me to move towards new love or a new work environment or, you know, new friendship, new, you know, creating new family members or something like that, but you felt stuck because you were dealing with somebody that was just strongly manipulative. But I'm seeing here that you pulled yourself back emotionally. And this person has made a very foolish decision here to try to block you from moving towards your happiness, because now that you have released this situation, now that you're no longer allowing this person to manipulate your life and you're shifting your thoughts, you're shifting your expectations, it's like, it's no longer effective here. You see that? You're not going to stay stuck in this tree in hangman mode. I feel like you're ready to come out of this energy. You see things from a different perspective, and it's like many of you, you might have blocked communication with this person or these people, or it's like you're no longer allowing them to send that negative energy into your direction. Look at that, because you've healed. You've done the work to heal, and so this is why this person is kicking up, is wreaking havoc. What is this? King of Pentacles right behind that, okay? Many of you are definitely reaping the harvest of the seeds that you have planted. Because you've done the work to heal, you're going to be sitting real pretty. You're going to be sitting real pretty, comfortable, grounded, stable, secure. You're not worried about anything here. And so I do feel that there might be one person or multiple people who are very bitter, because they see you shining. They see you being very transparent and authentic in who you are unapologetically. And you are reaping the harvest of that because you planted the seeds, and you didn't just plant the seeds, okay? But you nurtured them. You watered them, okay? You did what was necessary to be very careful about taking care of them and planting them in a soil that would reap a good harvest, okay? And so because of this, they have to actually watch you shine. So there are some bitter Bettys and some bitter Pauls out there. Look at this, y'all. The Queen of Pentacles right behind that. So that's why I said many of you are moving towards a union that's a divine union, and the two of you are going to build very strong foundations together. This is a power couple right here. And so it's because both of you have put in that work to heal yourselves. And so because both of you have now stripped yourself there of all of the falsehood, the illusions, the conditioning of others, the expectations of others, the two of you get to come together now. So for many of you, this is love. For some of you, this is business partnerships where you're going to be collaborating with others and your business is going to thrive, it's going to grow. Some of you, I'm also hearing, are going to become like well-known in the public. Okay, with the star card right in between a king and a queen of pentacles, the two of you might work together, whether it's just business partnerships or in a relationship or both, work together, and you're going to be elevated and you're going to be known by many people across the globe, you know. Queen of Wands is in reverse. Oh, this person is livid. They are pissed. They are jealous. They are feeling insecure right now. Some of you might have been dealing with a fire sign, but if not, just know that this person is very, very angry, male or female, it doesn't matter. They are angry largely because, look at this, there's the Queen of Wands again. But see, we got one that's in the reverse and one that's in the upright, which is two completely different energies, because in the reverse, it's very insecure. In the upright, it's feeling good about yourself and in your creativity. And so I feel like Wow. What I'm picking up, though, if this is concerning love to some of you, you had a false soulmate. It's like it was a karmic person that was in your life. You felt a strong connection with this person. It might have been strongly created due to a sexual draw that you had to this person. But it was a false twin flame, if you want to call it twin flame or divine partnership. It wasn't your real person. They made a false, like a clone, but they couldn't clone it quite good enough because they was able to fake the funk long enough to get you trapped up in their web here. But now that you awakened and you see that this person was, you know, no good for you, and that they was out for blood, they was out for pain to cause harm to you, and they just wanted to get you stuck and trapped, and, you know, feeling as if you couldn't move, because remember that card that said trapped in fear. So for some of you, you got swindled, okay? This person had you believing that they were your person. They was not, and so you got caught up maybe mentally feeling trapped and stuck and feeling like, okay, well, I can't move out of this situation, and then maybe missing out on opportunities with others who were definitely a strong potential for love. Maybe even for some of you, you met the person that was your person, but you allowed it to get away from you because you was trapped up in this situation, confused as to whether or not this person was your person, because the Two of Swords is that energy of, I don't know which way to go. I'm at a crossroads. I'm confused, but it's because you don't want to see the reality. So for some time, you blinded yourself to this person's manipulation and their energy, their jealousy, and their toxicity. And now it's like you taking your power back and you actually recognize who your true person is. This is for some of you. And then for others of you, it could be that what you was caught up in the past was you was in a strong energy of insecurity. You had not awakened your creativity. You didn't know, you know, what your gifts was. You didn't see your full potential when it came to creating abundance for yourself and creating that solid foundation. And so you could have gotten caught up in the web of the illusion of feeling like you had to work for a job that you hated, where maybe the bosses was manipulative or overbearing or misusing their position of authority against you. And now you stepped into your power. You're feeling confident about yourself. You're awakening your creativity. You're feeling passionate about life again. And so now these people, they can't stop you from shining because you're going to move towards a new opportunity that's going to bring you financial security. You know, whatever category it is for you, you sit it where it belongs. You know, listen to your intuition. But, yeah, people are watching. Oh, are they looking? They some looking behind, I'm trying to tell you. That's all they do is just watch you because they're fascinated with how you've been able to grow through the pain. You know, they're fascinated with the fact that you are unapologetically, transparently you, okay? You're not worried about people seeing you in the bare and in, you know, just completely with your guards down and with those, you know, those protective layers off. You have stripped yourself of all of those past illusions of who people told you you was, okay? And so because of that, they're just watching you shine, and they're so immature, you know, they're just looking for ways that they can wreak havoc. But see, you just focus. You're not even thinking about these people. That's the thing. If you look at these cards, this person is looking at this person here. This person is just watching them so closely. Male or female, it doesn't matter. They're watching them so closely. They can't even pay attention to working on themselves because that's all they can think about. And they got to store it up, looking for ways to try to bring some drama. Maybe looking for ways to try to slander this person's name or to gossip about them. You know, what can I find on this person? But the fact of the matter is they can't find a damn thing because you stripped bare. So you have nothing to hide, okay? And so them, they're so immature, and they're just so, they lack so much just self-love that they would rather, I mean, it's like they live to watch you. And which, you know, for them, it could be a good thing maybe in the next lifetime. Because in this lifetime, all they want to do is watch you just to hate on you. They're not watching you to learn from you and to try to figure out, well, how can I get to where he or she is at this point? You know, they're watching you to try to find ways to manipulate, to try to think of things that they can gossip about, but they can't come up with nothing. They literally are just watching you rise higher and higher. Like I said, some of you are going to become what, you know, they like to call it stars, you know, right? But we are star seeds, right? So they're watching you become this star, you know, shining, and they're just having to sit on the back end because now, again, this mess right here is in the reverse. It's not working anymore. You ain't playing that game with them anymore because you know who you are now. And so it's like, I know who I am. I don't have to go back and forth with, you know, someone like you, okay? But, you know, I don't want to say what I was going to say, but with someone like you, because these are two completely different energies. Even when you look up, you know, the surrounding energy, the surrounding the people, like, this is bright. It's shining. It's as many stars as here. Like, you've gained this. You've earned this energy, okay? It's beautiful. It's like the harvest is plentiful, okay? It's fertility that surrounds this person, okay? This person has that divine connection to nature. They're barefoot, okay? And so they are grounded. They're stable. This person right here, what they got around them? Just some clouds, okay? They just, it's cloudy for them every day. Every day that they get up, it's just a cloudy day. They just so that their mind is clouded. They don't see nothing clearly. You know, they get no divine connections, no divine connections whatsoever. It's just they're so disconnected from who they are. And so they're fascinated by you, but they can't stand you at the same time. So that's interesting how that works out, right? This person is probably bipolar anyway. But then you have here the hermit. So many of you decided to go into isolation, and you're going within. You're doing some deep self-reflecting, you know, that deep inner work. You're shining a light on those areas that needs to be addressed, and you're doing what's necessary to heal. And this is why you're now the star energy, you know, because you go from, let me see, this is star card is the number 17. You know, these are Roman numerals, so give me a little second. 17, and then the hermit is the number 9. Yeah, the number 9. And so it's like 10, 7 plus 1 is 8, then a hermit is 9. It's like you had to go within to do the work, okay? You had to go within to do the work. And so now it's like shining the light. I feel like, though, but what I'm picking up, too, is that some of you, you're definitely inspiring others. Not everybody is in this energy of just hating and not trying to do anything for themselves, but just watch you shine and just find different ways to try to wreak havoc. But some of these people is actually awakening and is making them turn within because they admire your growth. They admire the work that you've done to heal. They admire your transparency. And so you see how this hermit is fully dressed, like every part from head to toe, this person is covered up. And the only thing they have is this light to shine on all of those dark areas. So a large part of whoever this person is, they felt like, you know, they're not authentic to who they are. They've hidden much of who they are from the world. And so now it's like you are inspiring others to strip themselves bare and to be the most transparent version and most authentic and organic version of themselves. And so you are helping others. So there's like, you know, of course, a polarity to everything. For some, you're definitely inspiring them. And then for others, it's just giving them more of a reason to hate, but then they love you at the same time and don't know what to do with themselves. Okay. They just all over the place. So three of swords, you know, for some people, it is heartbreaking to see you win. And that's sad because you winning should not hurt nobody. You winning, even if they can't applaud you, the least they can do is say, well, let me go focus on myself so I can see how I can win too. But this is the energy, you know. Some of them, the strength card is in the reverse. They can't overpower you anymore. They can't use their position against you anymore. For some of you, you might have been dealing with Leo. They can't use that against you anymore to try to hurt you and to break your heart. They can't love bomb you anymore. Okay, look at this. The Empress is in the reverse. For some of you, it could have been mother figures. Okay, whether it's your mother, whether it's the mother of your children, whether it's a mask, it could be a man that's operating in feminine energy. It could be anybody, whoever this is. They cannot be codependent on you anymore. They cannot manipulate you anymore. And so it's painful for these people because fact of the matter is the Empress in reverse has not done the work on herself. Her heart chakra is blocked. She has codependency issues. She's very insecure. It's just so many things that comes with that type of energy. Her creativity is blocked. She's not growing. I mean, and so this type of person does not have much to offer you except for pain, drama, and just projecting their own insecurities off onto you. And so from that type of energy, that's the type of person that would want to control you and that would want to keep your light dim. They don't want you to shine too bright around them because it's just that light is going to shine on them and it's going to highlight their own insecurities. And so they would rather you keep that light to a minimum when you're in their presence. And so this is why you had to be released from these people. So the Six of Cups is in a reverse. For some of you, this is family. This is someone who you might have children with, and you didn't create the best memories with this person. But see, you ain't stressed out about it no more. And this is what is this is what's pissing a lot of these people off. You're not in this energy of losing sleep anymore, staying up at night, overthinking about this situation. You've done the work to heal. And so for some, you know, for them, it's like it's their turn now because they can't use you to make themselves feel good. They can't work against you to make themselves feel better about who they are because now it's not penetrating. It's not effective anymore. And so now it's like, man, I got to face myself. I got to do work on myself. Or they can go find them another victim to get caught up in their web. But either way, they're calling in very karmic energy to themselves. And so, you know, the Queen of Swords is that type of energy in the upright. This is someone that's very direct and straightforward, speaking the truth, okay? And so in the upright, I feel like you had to remove the emotional aspect from it. Take, you know, no more wearing your heart on your shoulder when it comes to these types of people and just being very straightforward and direct and letting them know what it is, okay? Being very logical and practical and, you know, just letting them know, you know, I'm going to create healthy boundaries for myself. If we're going to communicate, you're going to need to come forward with the truth. You're going to need to be honest, direct, straightforward, no more beating around the bush, no more love bombing, no more, you know, trauma bonding and all of this type of stuff. Now, if you want to communicate, respect my boundaries. Some of you had to use this knife to cut people off, okay? So this is what I'm seeing. You know, I'm going to just pull a couple of more cards here. Yeah, you had to block them out in order to get to your gifts, your blessings and your gifts. But some of them wanted to actually block you from receiving this blessing. Some of them wanted to block you from receiving this offer that was coming to you, this new opportunity, the seed that would grow, that would actually plant, you know, that was given to you from the Most High God, okay? Handed to you for the work that you've been doing. And so Four of Swords in the reverse, it's like that energy of you're coming out of this energy now. You got the rest. You did the healing. You did everything that was necessary. Some of them wanted to block you from healing because they knew that the moment that you healed, you was going to get up and take advantage of this opportunity that's been handed to you. Whatever that is, you know what it is. It could be that new job. It could be that new love. It could be that new gift, that passionate, exciting idea that you've been working on or thinking about. They knew that as long as they kept on creating scenarios that was painful for you, you would constantly be on your face or flat on your back trying to figure out how you're going to pick yourself back up to heal. So if you're constantly working on healing, you don't have no energy to embrace creative things or new ideas or things that's going to bring passion or excitement into your life. You're more focused on just getting up out of bed every day, you know, and being able to have the strength to push through another day of pain. And so now that you've done the work and you've protected yourself, your spiritual team has protected you, you realize, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity. I will not miss this opportunity. And so for some of you, that opportunity is leading towards your success, your financial security, your independence. Okay, you feeling good about yourself. That is the reward and recognition that you deserve. And so there it is, those people standing around, you know, watching. And, you know, some of them are applauding you and some of them are hating. But at the end of the day, regardless of which side of the fence they stand on, they still got to watch you shine and thrive. So that's the message that I have for you all. I love you. If you want a private reading, like I said, be sure to email me. You can also donate to my channel. Shout out to those of you who have been donating to me. I appreciate y'all. Be sure to like and subscribe to my channel if this message resonates with you. And I will talk to you all next time.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, royalty, royalty, royalty to all. Thank you guys for tuning in another episode of Enhancing Awareness Radio. This is Motivational Classroom, and I am your host, Haruda Seven Oracle. Some know me also as Heathen Boyd. You guys, that was such a beautiful message. Such a beautiful message. Love Shari Zane. Please be sure to subscribe to her channel. The channel link to the channel is in the show notes, guys. So please be sure to go. And she has a lot of messages, guys. And, you know, that was not my personal reading. That was just a collective reading for the collective. It takes what, as I always say here at Enhancing Awareness Radio, if it applies, allow it. You know, if it doesn't, let it fly. You know, if it don't apply, let it fly, right? So, yeah, guys, to be aware, right? Enhancing your awareness. To be aware is to be alive and to be here and to be now, right? A lot of people say the chosen ones, but I like to say the good hearts. You know what I'm saying? There will be no rest for the wicked, you know. You know, guys, we are merging into a higher timeline. And, you know, really, to combat your own inner turmoils or your own inner miseries, as my cat loves these podcasts, y'all. She's always in my business when it comes to me when I'm live on air. But I love that because she is aware, right? So this season, guys, I wanted to get back to the basic on a lot of things because what I love is that a lot of people are asking questions now, and I now understand and understand why I had to go through a lot of things personally in order to get where I am in my now moment, and that's to help others, you know, to just give my heart and to just help, you know, others through things, also helping myself, you know what I mean? Most importantly, guys, because as an old friend of mine used to say, you know, he used to always say how you can help others, and everybody used to say that, actually. If you go back in the archives and listen to Enhancing Awareness Radio, there have been a lot of beautiful and interesting souls who have come through Enhancing Awareness Radio, and I'm grateful, you know, for everything, you know what I mean? So, shout out to everybody, right? But yeah, that was a beautiful message, guys. So again, go and subscribe to her channel and listen to the archives. So getting back to the basics, this is one by Brian Tracy in which I started this spiritual journey or this spiritual reawakening or reconnecting, if you will, back in 2010. So I've been in it for a minute, over 10 years now. And this is not a race, right? Spirituality is not a race. It's just a reconnecting or reawakening with from within, right? There are many different levels to awakening. So, you know, again, I love the fact that many people are now asking questions. They are now concerned. But love, not fear. Infinite Waters, Ralph Martin always reminds us, you know, to choose love, not fear. And a lot of people are merging now from the ashes or whatever they had to grow through in order to collectively help the, I don't want to say human race because that's a low vibratory aspect of it, but the reawakening is beautiful, all right? Those that know, know. So back to the basics, guys. This is one by Brian Tracy that I love. It's the 10 key C's. Please grab your pen and notebooks and write these 10 key C's down, guys. Tomorrow, join me for Spiritual Soul Sunday as I will be going over the power of thoughts. It's about a 20-page article. I don't think I sat down and read a 20-page article before, but it's one that needs to be read because it's one that's back to the basics. You know, it helped me with my early on. So join me tomorrow, same time at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central for that. And, yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this 10 key C's to success, right? 10 key C's. So it's things like compassion, clarity, things like that. I think you guys will love this one. And I'll be back to discuss you know, some key points and possibly just to close out. But Brian Tracy, 10 Key Keys to Personal Power, I think is the title of this lecture. All right, guys.
I have studied successful men and women. I have read biographies and autobiographies. I have looked at the characteristics and principles of them. I've studied philosophy and economics and religion and psychology and metaphysics. And I've come to 10 key qualities. Now, there may be more and there may be less, but I find that each of these 10 qualities that successful men and women have starts with the letter C. But if you have these 10 qualities, there's nothing in the world that can stop you from being an outstanding success. Many years ago, I started off poor. I started off broke. I started off pretty stupid. I started off having failed out of high school, and I drifted for a long time. I've done a good deal of traveling. When you are older, you call your traveling, your drifting days, traveling. And I've done a good deal of traveling. And over the years, I began to study the subject of success. And I had one simple idea that came upon me in my late teens, and I think it was the most important idea that I've ever had. And it was simply this, that if you study successful people and you do what they do, you will be more successful. And if you study unsuccessful people and you avoid doing what they do, then you will not be a failure. And then one of the things I've found, that if you study success, you begin to internalize success principles. And if you practice proven success principles, and if you do what successful men and women have done throughout history, that you will be successful too. And it's such a remarkable discovery, but it has been worth a fortune to me. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is some of the principles that I've discovered in over 20 years of research. I serve as a consultant to over 200 corporations, and I have been a personal consultant to the presidents of $3 billion plus corporations. I have studied successful men and women. I have read biographies and autobiographies. I have looked at the characteristics and principles of them. I've studied philosophy and economics and religion and psychology and metaphysics. And I've come to 10 key qualities. Now, there may be more and there may be less, but I find that each of these 10 qualities that successful men and women have starts with the letter C. And the interesting thing about these qualities is, first of all, with them, success is predictable, and without them, failure is predictable. That if you have these 10 qualities, there's nothing in the world that can stop you from being an outstanding success. And if you lack sometimes even one of these qualities, that can be enough, can be the weak link in the chain that dooms one to a life of underachievement and failure. The second principle that I discovered with regard to these qualities is that they are all habit patterns of mind, and that nobody starts off with them, and that you can learn them, and that you can develop them with practice. And the third thing that I found is that if you will practice these principles until they become habits, until they become automatic for you, then nothing can stop you. So let's talk about these principles. They start with the letter C, each one of them. There's 10 principles. The first principle starts with the letter C. It says clarity. And clarity is the starting point of all success. It means clarity of thinking. It means thinking clearly, and it extends from thinking clearly to a series of other things. With regard to clarity, it means the ability to determine exactly what it is that you want to be, have, or do in life. And the more I study successful men and women, the more I find that every single one of them, the top 5%, are very clear about where it is they're going and what it is they want to accomplish. And when I look at the unsuccessful men and women, or men and women who seem to be unhappy and floundering, I find that almost invariably, they have a very, very limited sense of direction, sometimes no sense of direction at all. You see, we as human beings are goal-seeking organisms. We only function at our very best when we are working toward accomplishing something that is important to us. And in my estimation, 80-90% of all the unhappiness, hostility, violence, psychosomatic illness, alcoholism, drug addiction, and so on in our society is caused by people having no sense of direction. They don't know where they're going. As they say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. I remember the analogy, the fellow goes up to the edge of the woods and he sticks his rifle into the woods and he closes his eyes and goes, bam, 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 puts his rifle down and turns to his friend and says, boy, I sure hope something good runs into that. Now, if you understand this principle is terribly important. You can be the most talented, the smartest, the best educated person with the most valuable contacts and all the advantages in life, but if you are not focused, it doesn't do you any good at all. I wrote in an article for the Wall Street Journal that if you do not have clear, specific goals for your life, you are doomed forever to work for people who do. And that seems to be the case. And yet only 5% of people have goals. So the key starting point with regard to clarity is to know where it is you're going and what it is you want to be and what it is you want to have and what it is you want to do. Because in America, in the most blessed society in all of human history, you can have anything in the world that you want if you could decide what it is that you want. The second key with regard to clarity is decisiveness. Be decisive. I've never met a successful person who was indecisive, and I've never met a failure who is decisive. Be decisive. Develop the characteristic and quality of decisiveness. We know that the reason why we are indecisive is because we're afraid of making a mistake. But the terrible thing is that the way that we think becomes a habit, and the habit of indecisiveness can condemn us to failure. We can be talented and intelligent and ambitious, but if we cannot make the hard decisions in our life, and if we cannot make decisions readily, then what happens is we always have to work for people who do make decisions readily. Now, the interesting thing about decisions is that about 80% of decisions should be made the first time they come up. 80% of decisions should be made the first time they come up. And if you make decisions every single time they come up, sooner or later you will develop the habit of decisiveness. You'll be very clear about what it is you want, and it's easy to make decisions if you know what it is you want to accomplish. One of the major reasons why people are indecisive, in my experience, is they have no idea what they want to accomplish. It's almost like they come to the crossroads, but they don't know which direction to go. 80% of all decisions should be made the first time they come up. And I read a management consultant's report on decisions. He said, the thing to do about decisions is to make a decision. And if that doesn't work, make another decision. And if that doesn't work, make another decision. And if that still doesn't work, you're probably in the wrong field anyway. But the interesting thing is that if you make a decision, you gather momentum. And the difference between successes and failures is not that successful people make right decisions. It is that successful people make their decisions right. In other words, once they have made a decision, they make it come out right. Anybody who's ever started a business knows that when you start a business, you start off with a whole bunch of ideas, which the market promptly tells you are completely wrong. And you probably lose your shirt or most of it. And you have to revise every single decision that you have. But the desire to survive economically, the threat of losing your shirt, is a great motivation to learn quickly and to make decisions. So make decisions. The third point under clarity is to have a vision for yourself and a vision for your life. The key to having a vision is to have a dream. They say in the song, you've got to have a dream if you want to make a dream come true. And you can fulfill your dreams. All the great movers and shakers throughout all of history have been dreamers. They've been people with dreams. They've been people with visions. All leaders have vision. In the Book of Solomon, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And the metaphysical meaning of that is that where people lack vision, they perish inside, because they lose the excitement and the thrill of life. And what most people do, because of negative experiences, because of fear of failure and so on, is they, if they have a vision at all, they tone it down so it's so small and so safe that it doesn't turn them on. It doesn't excite them, and they wonder why life isn't exciting. A beautiful line I read not long ago said, if the best way to predict the future is to create it, which means to have a vision, and even though the vision is in the air or the sky, then build a foundation under your dreams. And when you see men and women who rise from poverty and obscurity to fame and renown, you invariably see someone who had a vision of what they could be and have and do that was far beyond what they were. Every one of us has had an experience. At one time, when we were small, we had a vision of being grown up and having our own cars. And as we grew older, we had a vision of having our own homes and our own families. And as we grew older, we had a vision of traveling and going to Europe. We fulfill all our visions. The wonderful thing is this, is that we always tend to achieve our goals. The problem is that our goals are set so low that even when we do achieve them, they don't turn us on. They don't fill us with enthusiasm. So dream big dreams, if you like, and focus on results, not activities. This is the key. Be clear about the results that you're trying to accomplish. This is one of the keys of peak performance, by the way. All peak performers are result-oriented. All losers or underachievers tend to be activity-oriented. And in activity orientation, what they do is they work very, very hard. Sometimes they work frantically. Sometimes they work longer hours than you do, but they lose sight of the results. Ben Trigo, the strategic thinker, said, the very worst thing in the world is to do very efficiently what need not be done at all. And many of us work very, very hard to do very efficiently what need not be done at all. And anybody who's ever had employees will tell you that every single day you come across your employees doing something very diligently, but it's completely irrelevant to the success of the business. So focus on results. Here's a key question to ask yourself when in your working life. I think it's one of the most important key questions. I'll give you two. Number one is, what results are expected of me? What results are expected of me? Not what activities, but what results or what outputs, what am I supposed to produce in my job? A second question you can ask yourself is, why am I on the payroll? Why am I on the payroll? Many people, especially in sales, they make the mistake of thinking that shuffling cards and reading through their sales literature and organizing their multiple listings and having coffee with the other people and reading the newspaper advertisements that they placed last week, that this is all part of selling. No, selling is when you're face-to-face with a real, live prospect who is willing and able and capable of buying a product. Everything else from that is self-delusion. What results are expected? The results that are expected of us in selling are sales. And the only time that we are working is when we are doing something that contributes directly to that result. Isn't that true? Of course. But of course, why do we do the other things? I've come to the conviction that the reason why we do the other things is because they are fun and easy rather than hard and necessary. I think the major reason why people fail in life, if I can pass this on, which wasn't part of this, but major reason why people fail in life is because of the expediency factor. That we always do, and we always take the fastest and easiest route to get the things that we want. But the fastest and easiest route in life is almost always the route to failure. It's short-term gain for long-term pain. We do what is fun and easy today instead of what is hard and necessary, and then we have to do what is hard and necessary at the end of our life when it's too late. And you'll find that the willingness and the ability to discipline yourself, to be clear about what it is you want, to be clear where you're going, to be clear about the results that you're expected to accomplish, and then to only work on those results. The ability to discipline yourself to do that is absolutely critical for success. It is not possible to conceive of a person being successful who is not capable of disciplining themselves to do what is hard and what is necessary rather than what is fun and easy. And especially when it comes to managing your time, when it comes to looking at what you should do on a day-to-day basis, focus on results, not activities. Now let me give you a method which has helped me. Write out your goals. All goals have to be in writing, by the way. If you don't have your goals in writing, then they're not really goals at all. They're merely wishes. And as they say, a wish is merely a goal without any energy behind it. Have your goals in writing. Write them out very specifically and clearly, and then do this. Every single morning, rewrite your major goals in the first person singular as though they already existed. Rewrite your major goals every single morning. Now, this should take you about 2 to 4 minutes, maybe five. You can do it all in a paragraph. If, for instance, if your goal is to earn $50,000 a year, every single morning write, I earn $50,000 a year. If your goal is to be excellent in real estate, say, I am an excellent salesperson in my field. If your goal is to weigh a certain number of pounds, if your goal is to enjoy a certain kind of life, write down your major goals in the first person singular as though they already existed today every single morning. And then every single evening, take about 5-10 minutes, instead of watching television, just before you turn on the television, say, wait a second, I've got to review my progress. And sit down and review what you've done in the course of the day and say, what have I done right today? What have I done right that's moved me toward my goals? And second question is, what would I do differently if I had today to do over again? Those four steps, by the way, writing and rewriting your goal each morning, reviewing them in the evening, and asking yourself those two questions. What did I do right? What did I do that moved me toward my goals today? And what would I do differently if I had the day to live over? If you'll ask yourself those two questions, in the next 30 days, you'll accomplish more than you accomplished in the last 6 months. This is the most incredible method I've ever seen. I learned it some years ago. Just rewrite your goals every morning. Because every time you write your goals down, you're programming them into your subconscious mind. When you program them into your subconscious mind, you set up a field of vibration within your brain. And this law of attraction, based on this field of vibration, attracts into your life people and circumstances that harmonize with your dominant thoughts. Everybody here has had the experience of starting to read about a subject, think about a subject, become interested in a subject, and suddenly you started to attract into your life books, magazines, articles, conversations, people, opportunities to expand on that subject. Have you had that experience before? What you do is you create a force field, which we cannot explain scientifically, but it is a field of vibration that goes out from you and attracts back into your life everything that you need to realize your dominant goals. And everybody's had the experience of writing down their goals at the beginning of the year and opening up the envelope at the end of the year and finding that 80% of the goals have been accomplished. Have you ever had that experience? Absolutely remarkable, isn't it? The only problem with goals is that we don't set enough of them and we don't set them highly enough. You can have anything you want. Imagine you could have anything that you want, anything that you can hold in your mind on a continuing basis, you can have. Anything that you are crystal clear about wanting and are willing to pay the price to get, you can have. So clarity is the key. Be clear about what you want. Be clear about what you have to do to get it. Be clear about your vision. Be clear. Speak, walk, talk, and act with clarity. And that's the final point with regard to clarity, is I have seen many men and women who have tripped themselves up by being beaters around the bushes, if you like. They are very careful about whatever they say, and by the time they say it, people have gone home for lunch. And one of the keys to success is to be very straight and to be very clear, be very precise. Interesting, one of the reasons why people do not speak to the point is for fear of offending others. Isn't that true? For fear of offending others. Interesting study they did last year. They asked a great number of executives, male and female. They said, if you had to tell a person something unfortunate with regard to their career that was going to affect their lives, and this is something that you've known for a long time, how would you go about breaking the news to them? And each of the person described the strategy they would take. They would set up the timing right. They would start off with a talk about talking about subjects that they had in common. They would close the door and keep out the noise. Anyway, they went around and around, and they're all circuitous routes for how they would get to the point. And then they reversed the question. They said, how would you like to be informed of this same subject? And every single one of them said, I'd like to be informed in a straightforward way. I'd like somebody to tell me straight the news. You see, all of us want to be dealt with in a straightforward way because we know we can take whatever it is. But we think that everybody else is too fragile. So what we do is we pussyfoot and tippy-toe around and avoid giving them the news, and we finally do get the news to them. Sometimes causes more problems than is necessary. So be straightforward. Be clear in your language. Be clear in your actions. Let people know exactly where you stand, and let people know exactly what you've said and what you mean. Very, very important. And it takes practice, by the way. Every single one of these habit patterns, every single one of these qualities has to be learned by practice. The second letter of the 10 is competence. And this is a discovery that I made a couple of years ago, and it just staggered me because I've been studying success for years. And then there's the book In Search of Excellence, and then there's The Pursuit of Excellence, and then there's Refinding Excellence and Losing Excellence and all the excellence books. And I sat down and looked at this whole concept of excellence, and I saw something that I hadn't noticed. It's almost like something brought to the surface of your mind. I noticed that every single man or woman that I had studied who had achieved any kind of success in any field whatsoever had done it after they had made a commitment to becoming excellent in that field. And I began to look, and I began to compare, and I began to talk to people, and I speak to thousands of people virtually every month. I found that I never found a single person who was successful who was not excellent at what they did. That competence, the commitment to becoming excellent in your chosen field, is an indispensable prerequisite for success. That if you are not good at what you do, you haven't got a chance in our competitive society unless you win the lottery. That success is predictable if you commit yourself to becoming excellent. It does a whole lot of other things within your mind, but if you commit yourself to becoming excellent, it changes everything about you. And only the top 5 or 10% are excellent. You've heard the rule, the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, that the top 20% of salespeople make 80% of the sales, that the bottom 80% of salespeople make 20% of the sales. Do you know what the difference, the ratio is there? The ratio is the difference between 16 to 1. That the average income of the people in the top 20% is 16 times the average income of the people in the bottom 80%. Now, let me ask you a question. Does it mean the people in the top 20% are 16 times better than the people in the bottom 80%? 16 times more experience? Do they work 16 times the number of hours? Do they have 16 times the number of years of education? Are they 16 times more handsome? Are they 16 times anything? You know that it's not humanly possible to be twice as smart as somebody else. Unless you're looking at very, very unintelligent people and very, very brilliant people. It's just really not humanly possible on average for us to even be twice as smart as anybody else. But 20% of these people are making 16 times the average of the rest. Prudential Insurance Company did a study some years ago, and they put the thousands of agents that they have throughout the United States into their computers and compared their income, and it came out the 80-20 rule worked. 20% of the salespeople were doing 80% of the business. Well, they had all the data on the computer, so they ran it through one more time. They said, what's the average income of the top 20% of the top 20% compared to the bottom 80%? Now, for those mathematicians among you, that works out to the top 4%. What was the average income? They found the top 4% were earning, on average, 32 times the average of the people in the bottom 80%. So they said, this is interesting, and they ran it through one more time. They found that the top 20% of the top 20% of the top 20%, which is the top 0.8%, that's good, top 0.8% were earning, on average, 54 times the average of the people in the bottom 80%. What they found is that in every state and in every major city where they had an office with a large number of agents working out of it, there was one agent who was selling the same product at the same price to the same people with the same competition under the same circumstances, under the same set of difficulties in the economy, who was earning 50 times the amount of the average adult. But there were 50 agents in the office, and one person was earning more than all of them put together. Isn't that amazing? And one of the things they found is that the key to this was that each one of these agents had made the commitment to become excellent early in their career. They didn't say, I'm going to go into this and I'm going to earn a living. They said, I'm going to go into this and I'm going to be the best. And they read every single book written by the top agents. And they went to every single seminar and they listened to every single tape. And they spent every single hour they could with other successful people learning what they needed to know to be successful. You must commit yourself to excellence. You must commit yourself to becoming the best. And the wonderful thing is that excellence is a journey. It's not a destination. You never get there. Complacency and satisfaction are the key enemies of excellence. But once you commit yourself to becoming excellent, the whole world opens up for you. A very important point of excellence is it just means simply this. Do your best every time out and always strive to do it better. Do your best every time out and always strive to do it better. Remember, it's usually the last 5 or 10% of any job or project that makes all the difference. And what we do is we get to 90% done, and then we start to drag our heels. We start to put the paperwork aside. We start to think of excuses. We start to do what is fun and easy rather than what is hard and necessary. A second point with regard to excellence is this, is that if you are not excellent in your field, you don't go anywhere. You're locked in place. I had a young man come up to me at an employment seminar not long ago, and he said, there's no opportunities in sales. He said, I just got laid off. And I said, young man, I said, if you were good in your field, you would not have been laid off, because good salespeople are the rarest people in our society. And he just said, well, I said, have you ever studied sales? He said, well, I don't need to study sales. I said, why not? He says, well, I just do what comes naturally. I said, I rest my case. Selling is an art. Selling today is a profession. Selling is a science. That in order to be good in selling, you have to study it and study it and study it. And you have to study it more than the person next door who's also determined to become excellent. Excellence yields opportunities, because when you become good, you open up. It's almost like the red sea of opportunity opens up in front of you. When you become excellent, you come to the attention of people, and people try to get you, and they give you more responsibilities and more opportunities. And you know, when you put on your business card that you're the top person in your particular field, people like to buy from the best salespeople in their fields. And by the way, you can tell how excellent you are at any time. Any time of your life, you can tell how excellent you are. Very simple measure. How many job offers have you had this month? Interesting question. How many job offers? How many people called you up and said, I want to hire you away from where you are and I'll pay you more and give you a better deal? Because excellent people get job offers every month. Some of them get job offers every single week. If you're not getting job offers, the market is telling you this is what they think of your level of competence. Very, very important. And if you're going to do anything at all, the only time you're going to get any joy out of it is if you do it well. You see, when we do something well, it gives us a feeling of self-esteem and pride. We feel like a winner. But if we do things in an average way, it doesn't give us anything. You notice that? It doesn't give us anything. We do it in an average way, it doesn't give us anything. But if we do it in a really exceptional way, it makes us feel wonderful about ourselves. That's why the companies that have committed to excellence are not hundreds of percent better in any given area. What they are is they are 1 or 2% better in 100 different areas. And that's the key. You see, you don't have to be a quantum leap different from somebody else. You just have to be a little tiny bit different in the critical areas that make a difference. And you can achieve that simply by making it a goal, setting it as a goal, and working on it. You can become anything that you want to become. The harder you work, the better you get. The harder you work, the better you get. You know, in our society today, there's a lot of controversy over why should I work so hard for my job. The fact of the matter is that less than 5% really succeed. That's less than 5% of the population really succeed at life. Of 100 people working today, only one will be wealthy when they retire. 4 will be financially independent. 15 will have some savings. 80% will be broke and dependent upon charities and pensions. Only 1 or 2% of people in each generation really makes it in life. And in every single study, those people who make it are those who work hard, hard, hard. And if you think that it's hard to be successful, try being a failure. Try coming to the end of the trail with no money, dependent upon pensions, and you don't know what hard is until you try living like that. But if you work hard, the average self-made millionaire in America works 12 to 13 hours a day, works about 60 to 65 hours a week. I'll tell you this with regard to hard work, that you, in our society, you only work 8 hours a day for survival. Everything over 8 hours is for success. And if you're only working 8 hours a day, you're in trouble. If you're only working 8 hours a day, you better have a rich uncle or you better have somebody else who's going to take care of you, because 8 hours a day only gets you survival in our society. Because it's so competitive that somebody else is working 9, they've got an edge on you. Somebody else is working 10, they've got a bigger edge on you. Every hour over 8 that you invest is an investment in your future, is an investment in your success. And if you put in the hours over 8, whether it's studying or reading or working, if you put in the hours, it will pay off, and it will pay off in spades. It's like throwing seed in the ground. When you throw a seed in the ground, the plant that comes up is not just one seed, it's hundreds of seeds. There's a crop that you put in, but you must put the seed in the ground first. The market only pays excellent rewards for excellent performance. It pays average rewards for average performance. It pays below average rewards for below average performance. And I talk to men and women all over America who are unhappy, and they're sad, and they don't like their work, and you know why? It's because they're not good at what they're doing. Well, let me give you a couple of key points. Is first of all, you'll never have a feeling of self-esteem and self-worth. You'll never feel wonderful about yourself until you know that you are good at what you're doing. Number two is, if you do not love your work enough to want to be the best at it, get out of it the way you would get out of a burning house. Do not stay at a job that you do not love, because it is the high road to failure, dissatisfaction, frustration, and unhappiness in life. The next letter, C, stands for concentration. Concentration. I think that the ability to focus and concentration are the two keys to success in life. That the ability to focus clearly and know exactly what it is you want to accomplish, and the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on accomplishing that one thing without diversion or distraction, are the keys to success. It's the number one key to effectiveness, is to be able to sit down and look at your work and use the 80-20 rule. Say to yourself, which is the 20% of the number of things that I have to do that account for 80% of the value of my work? And always work on the top 20%. You see, in life, there's never enough time to do everything, but there's always enough time to do the important things. Instead of doing what is fun and easy, which is what most people do, you know what they do? They make a list of everything they have to do, and then they start at the bottom of the list, and they work on the irrelevant things. At the end of the day, they haven't got anything done. Successful people, peak performers, concentrate on the top items. And remember, anything other than working on the top items on your list is a waste of your time. And time management is not just time management. Time management is life management. You can do anything you want with your life if you'll manage your time properly. We all have the same 24 hours a day, and the ability to concentrate, to discipline yourself, to use willpower and perseverance to concentrate on one thing at a time is a quality of all success. Nothing great has ever been accomplished without the ability to concentrate single-mindedly on one thing at a time. Always concentrate on the best use of your time. Here is my favorite time management question, which I give to you for free. It's simply this. Before you start anything, ask yourself, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Make a list and say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? When you get into your car, say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? When you leave the house or leave the office, say, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Ask yourself that question over and over and over again. Repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it's driven into the subconscious mind as a command. And whenever you have a temptation to do something that is small and irrelevant, that command will go, bam, what is the most valuable use of your time right now? And you'll, ooh, and it'll push you into doing what is the most valuable use of your time. And whenever you're working on the most valuable use of your time, you feel great. You get concentrated effort is a source of energy and enthusiasm. It makes you feel wonderful when you're working on something important, and it makes you feel nothing when you're working on something irrelevant. Develop a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency is a quality that is possessed by only 2% of the population. 2% of the population do things fast. 2% of the population have a bias for action. In Tom Peters' wonderful book, In Search of Excellence, he says all the excellent companies have a bias for action. And all of the companies that do not classify or do not come into the excellence category do things when they get around to it. You call them up and you have a problem or a complaint. You hear from them 3 or 4 weeks later. But the excellent companies, you call up with a problem or a complaint, and bang, there's somebody back to you in 2 minutes. If you ever want an experience, call IBM, call Hewlett-Packard, and say, I'm having a problem getting some information. I'm having a problem with my PC. They won't let you off the phone until they've taken care of you. You call the other companies, they'll say, it's not my job. They'll say, the guy who takes care of that isn't here. When will he be back? I don't know. Can you take a message? I don't have a pencil. You know, you've spoken to those people? And then they can't understand why they're struggling. You know that 20% of the companies make 80% of the profits in every industry? Interestingly enough. So develop a sense of urgency. Get the reputation as the person who does things fast. Develop a reputation for speed and dependability, and your future will just open up in front of you. Imagine if you owned a company, and you had two people in the company, and both of them were reasonably well talented, both of them were doing reasonably well, except one person had a sense of urgency and did things fast, and every time you give them something to do, they took it and they ran with it like a ball player catching a fumble and running for the goal line. The other person got to it after lunch or maybe next Monday or no rush, week's almost over, Thursday afternoon, and so on. Which one would you give additional responsibility to? Which one would you promote? Which one would you spend money training? Which one would you send to places where you needed help? It's always the person with a sense of urgency. I can tell you this, that the sense of urgency for me has been worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. As a consultant, I have been able to save my clients sometimes millions of dollars by acting fast when they've given me a project to take care of, whereas if I had acted even a day later, it could have cost a fortune. And if you'll develop that habit of working fast, that sense of urgency, act now, do it now, in selling especially. Somebody calls you up and has a question, get back to them now. Somebody has a problem, get back to them now. Somebody needs something, move on it quickly. If you have to forego coffee breaks or lunch or something else, move fast. If you develop that reputation for speed, it will be worth a fortune to you. It takes a little while, but it's a habit. Most people just sort of shuffle through life. You know, they get to it when they feel like it. But all the excellent people, all the high performers have a sense of urgency. And finally, complete each job that you start. Get on with the job and stay with it till it's 100% finished. The difficulty that people have in completing their tasks is absolutely amazing. In a study amongst 106 chief executive officers last year, they were asked what qualities out of 26 would be most important in putting a person on the fast track to success in your company. And they agreed almost unanimously on two qualities. Number one, the ability to set priorities, to determine what is relevant and separate it from what is irrelevant. And number two is a sense of urgency, the ability to get on with the job and get it finished, and get it finished fast. The next C is common sense. Common sense, according to the Gallup organization that just did a wonderful book called The Great American Success Story, they surveyed 1,500 people in Marquis' Who's Who in America, 1,500 of the most respected men and women in America, and they asked them, what do you consider to be the most important single quality of success? And they agreed almost unanimously on common sense. Just common sense. Good common sense. As my friend Charlie Jarvis says, the average person has an enormous amount of common sense because they haven't used any of it yet. You can train your mind to have common sense. You can train your mind to think things through before acting. In my experience, action without thinking is the cause of every failure. Action without thinking is the cause of every failure. And common sense comes from taking the time to think things through before you act. Listen to your intuition. Your intuition is one of the best guides that you possibly have. You know from some of the other work that we've done is that each person has inside them an intuitive sense which will always give you the exact right answer for you. They've done some studies between men and women. When they test women's intuition, you've heard of women's intuition, everybody's heard of women's intuition, they find that when you give men and women tests and they're asked to answer on the basis of their intuition, men's intuition is equally as accurate as women's intuition. The only difference is that in real life, women have the intelligence to listen to their intuition, which is why they're smarter than men. And women and men do not listen to their intuition. Instead, they override their intuition because they're trying to get something they want the fastest and easiest way, even if their gut feeling says don't do it. Has anybody here ever gone against their intuition and had it work out? No. Your intuition will always give you the most accurate answer for you. It's almost like an inbuilt computer that will take all of your life experience and knowledge and everything going on around you and give you exactly the right answer. So listen to your intuition. Learn from your setbacks. This is one of the characteristics of high-performing men and women, is that every single time they have a problem or a difficulty, they sit back and they dissect it and they learn everything possible from it. They try to develop general principles. From each setback, they say, what is the valuable lesson I can learn? So you take a look at everything that has happened to you. Take a look at the very most difficult experience that you're in right now and ask yourself, what is the most valuable lesson I can learn from this experience? And believe me, if you look for the lesson, in the Bible it says, seek and ye shall find. It doesn't say seek and occasionally you might find something. It says, seek and ye shall find. If you look for the valuable lesson or the seed of an equal or greater advantage or benefit in every difficulty, you will find it. It's always there. And I love the line from Socrates that says, the unexamined life is not worth living. Which means that the life where you do not take the time to reflect on your experiences. Aristotle said that wisdom is an equal measure of experience plus reflection. And the reason so few people have wisdom is what they have is experience, 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 but they never take the time to sit back and reflect on what's happening to them, reflect on what they're learning. How many people here have seen people get out of bad relationships and get immediately back into bad relationships? Or get out of a lousy job and immediately join a company and get into another lousy job? What is the natural thing that people do? They get fired or laid off from a job, they quit, they go down the street, and they look for what? Another job exactly just like, exactly like it. Number five, C is creativity. Tap your creative potential. Accept the fact that every single human being is a genius, and all successful men and women are creative. They're creative in that they respond to their world differently. They ask questions. They're flexible. They're curious. You know what? The hallmark of creativity is curiosity. The hallmark of ignorance and stupidity is the cessation or stopping from asking questions. And I've worked with some of the brightest men and women in this nation, and I find that the smartest people of all, the ones that have the greatest education and the most experience, are the ones who ask the most questions. They ask questions almost as if they were children, but they never stop asking questions. They're very open and flexible, and they have the ability, once they learn a new piece of information, to drop what they're doing if the new information contradicts it and do something else. Do you know what most people do? Most people keep on doing what they're doing until they run into a wall. As they say, the more you do of what you're doing, the more you'll get of what you've got. Someone pointed out to me not long ago, and I think it's very true, is that all changes in our life come with the input of new information. That if we do not have new information, we keep on doing the same thing forever as the result of inertia. And creative people are always looking for faster, better, easier, cheaper, newer ways to do things. Remember, 80% of everything that we are doing today in our general business will be different 5 years from now. 80% of the products that we use, the food that we eat, the cars we drive, the music we listen to, the movies we go to, even the streets we drive on, 80% of everything will be new in 5 years. That's how rapidly things are changing. According to the research, all you need is an idea that's 10% new to start a fortune. An idea that's 10% new. As a matter of fact, an idea that's more than 10% new is probably too new for the average consumer to accept it. An idea that's 10% new. Interesting point. The single greatest source of self-made millionaires in America. Do you know what industry it is? Can you guess? You wouldn't believe it. Dry cleaning. Dry cleaning shops is the greatest single source, one industry that's contributed more self-made millionaires than any other industry. Dry cleaning shops. Now the key to this, if you want to become wealthy, I'm going to tell you something, that if you want to be wealthy in life, if you wish to become very wealthy, if you wish to become even a millionaire, you can do it if you're willing to pay the price. But most people become millionaires by offering a good or service that people use all the time, and they offer it just a little bit better. They do it just a little bit faster. They put a little bit more grace or finesse into what they're doing. They handle it. They wrap it. They are more polite. The restaurant that has people coming back to it may have food that's only 5% different, but it's the way the people handle it that's so different. You can do anything you want in life. All you have to do is find an idea that's 10% new. And you'll find it if you flood your mind, read magazines, read books, ask questions, ask why people are doing things the way they're doing. I was talking to a man not long ago who made $1 million in Chicago, and he made it laying bricks. And he never laid bricks in his life. But he went to a union brick laying job, a large building downtown, and he asked them why they were laying bricks like that and why half the men were sitting around. They said, well, that's the way we always lay bricks. He said, well, how come all the men are sitting around? He said, well, because they have to lay the corners first, and then the men fill the bricks in between. He said, why can't they lay the corners and the walls at the same time? He said, we just don't do it that way. So he sat down, knew nothing about construction. He sat down, he came up with a system that enables you to build the center of the wall and the corners simultaneously. And then he bid on construction jobs. And he could bid 40% under any company using the old method. And within a year, he'd made over $1 million in construction. He had half the construction in Chicago a few years ago. And he didn't know anything about it. Look for ideas. Keep your mind open and flexible. Ask questions. Remember, one new idea is all you need to start a fortune. And within every single person here, you have four ideas, an average of four ideas per year driving to and from work, any one of which will make you a fortune. Any one of which will make you wealthy. How many times I can prove it to you. Want me to prove it to you? How many times have you been going about your daily business and you see the need for a product or service? And you say, now I wonder why somebody doesn't produce that. And about 2 or 3 years, then you say, well, it can't be any good. So I thought of it after all. I Groucho Marx, when he resigned from a club once, he said, I wouldn't be a member of a club that would have, I wouldn't stay in a club that would have me for a member. Have people like me for a member. So we get those ideas and we say, well, can't be any good because I thought of it. And then 2 or 3 years later, a company comes out with that idea or some company and makes $1 million that, and you say, I thought of that idea 2 or 3 years ago. Every single person here has had that experience. What you have to do is trust your ideas. Trust your ideas. If you decide that you're going to earn a certain amount of money, that you're going to achieve a certain level of wealth, that you're going to achieve a certain life estate, and you program that into your subconscious mind and you then turn it over to your intuition, you will get the ideas, the insights, the inspirations necessary to achieve your goals. And that's the only difference between very wealthy, successful people and the average person, is that they simply follow their intuition. They're not smarter, they're not different, they're not more educated, they're not more talented, they just follow that inner guide. Next is consideration. Consideration is based on the fact that the quality of your relationships with other people more than anything else will determine your success in life. How well you get along with other human beings, your quality of interaction will determine your happiness, your success, your achievements, your wealth, and anything else. Charles Schwab, the founder of U.S. Steel, said that I will pay more for the ability to get along with others than for any other skill in America. And that's very, very true. Develop the people skills that you need to be successful. Take courses in communications. Take courses in effective listening. Take courses in public speaking. You know, one of the most important parts of communicating and getting along well with others is the size of your vocabulary. You've probably heard that before. The size of your vocabulary, your ability to express yourself orally, your ability to stand on your feet, your ability to write effectively and get your point across to others will have a tremendous impact on your life. Because you cannot imagine a successful person who cannot communicate effectively with other people. And you can develop the capacity to be an excellent communicator. If you were to learn one new word a day, if you were to make an effort by carrying a dictionary around, I have taught myself French, Spanish, German, and smatterings of about 10 other languages. And the way I taught myself that was I learned the basic vocabulary, I studied it, learned the basic vocabulary, and I carried a dictionary around with me. And every time I saw a word I didn't know, I looked it up in the dictionary. And within a very short period of time, I could eat, live, walk, talk, and speak fluently in those three societies. And I've traveled all over the world in those three languages. Sometimes I get in a position where I'm talking to a person in French and a person in German and a person in Spanish, and my mind goes, and I end up babbling. But nonetheless, you can learn it just simply by looking up the word. If you looked up one word a day, which would be 365 words a year, within 5 years, you'd be one of the best educated people in history. Because every word that you learned would introduce you to about 10 more. It sort of opened the door to about 10 more. The average child learns almost 5,000 words in the first 5 years of life. The average adult learns less than 5 words a year. And yet, words are the tools with which we think. That the more words we have, the better is our thinking. Just like the more tools a craftsman has, the better is what he creates. The more words we have, the better is the world that we create. So communication is important. The most important part about consideration is to practice the golden rule. I think that the golden rule, which is based on the law of sowing and reaping, whatsoever that you would have men do unto you, do you so unto them. You get out of life exactly what you put in. What you sow in your relationships, you reap in your relationships. The golden rule is the key to consideration. But you can practice, you can learn to be more effective with other people. You can take courses in it. You can study behavioral psychology. Everybody in sales should be an expert on behavioral psychology. And whenever I hear a person say, well, I don't need to study that, I do what comes naturally, the person is saying, I'm determined to be a failure for the rest of my life, and I'm announcing it to anybody who will listen. Because sales is so precise. The ability to communicate and to persuade and influence other people is such a complex field that, you know, some psychologists study it all of their lives. If you become excellent in it, you can write your own ticket. Almost all entrepreneurial fortunes, people who start with nothing and become millionaires, do it because they're good salespeople. They're good at convincing others. They get excited about their ideas, but they have the skills to be able to persuade other people to go along with them. Does that make sense? Of course, because the opposite to been persuading and influencing other people is to be ignored by other people and to be influenced by them. So it's a matter of choice. The Carnegie Institute of Technology did a study about 7 years ago, 10 years ago now, And they studied 10,000 men and women who were let go from their companies. And they found that 95% of the people who were let go from their companies were let go because of their inability to get along with others. This is caused by low self-esteem more than anything else. In my estimation, those of you who know that low self-esteem, more than anything else, causes our personality problems. Not liking ourselves, not accepting ourselves, feeling inferior inside, causes us to lash out at other people. And the wonderful thing is that if you're clear about your goals and you're committed to becoming excellent and you concentrate single-minded on what is important to you, you have a tendency to like yourself more. Your self-esteem goes up. Your ability to get along with other people goes up. But if you have no goals and you're not very good at what you do and you're just doing whatever comes to hand, then your self-esteem goes down. So one of the things that we're talking about here is the building of the characteristics, the personality qualities that guarantee success. And self-esteem, of course, is the foundation of all success in relationships. Well, the seventh C is consistency. Consistency is absolutely critical. You can have all of the others, but if you're inconsistent, it's going to really hurt you. Consistency means that dependable, steady, predictable work is always vastly superior to spurts or flashes of brilliance and genius. That the person who is like the tortoise, who just plods steadily away, old steady Eddie, is always the person who tends to be more successful than the one who flashes here and flashes there, but cannot be counted on over the long term. Be consistent in your relationships. Especially be consistent with your family, be consistent with your friends, be consistent with your boss, be consistent in your work. Make it so that you are the type of person that everybody can depend upon, that people will believe in and they'll depend upon, and they know that if you say something, that you'll do it. That if you say you'll be somewhere or if you undertake a responsibility, that you will fulfill that responsibility. That sort of consistency, that sort of dependability is one of the most valuable things in the world of work today. I work with so many companies and I have staff that work in my companies, and I know that the greatest joy that an employer can have is to give a person a job and know that it'll be done. And the most aggravating thing in the world is to give a person a job and have no idea if it'll be done, if it'll be done to a particular quality, if it'll be done on time or anything else. Just being the steady person. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to. One of the things that I found, if I can pass this on to you, one of the things that I found when I was a young man, which helped, this cost me about 10 years of life, by the way, not 10 years so much, but 10 years in that I thought that you had to have good grades in school in order to be successful. And then later I thought that you had to have a university education in order to be successful. And then later I thought that successful people are people who are somehow better than you and I. They somehow have unique talents, that somehow the gods have descended from Olympus and touched them on the heads. But one of the things that I found is that nobody is better than you or I. When you see men or women accomplishing great things, they're not better than you or I. They're not different from you or I. They're just doing things in a different way. You look at a person you went to school with who's now doing surgery as a doctor. The person's the same person, except that they've learned how to do surgery. You look at a person who you went to school with who is now an outstanding success in a particular field, all they've done is learned how to be a success in that field. And consistency. There's a law of accumulation in the universe, if I can pass this on. A law of accumulation that says that even though you do 100 things or 1,000 things that you don't see, eventually they accumulate and they gather a force of their own. That every single great accomplishment in life is the result of thousands of minor accomplishments that nobody ever sees. One of the people on the program, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, who had become successful as a singer, they said, "Isn't it wonderful that you've become so successful as a singer?" She said, "Yes, it's wonderful." She said, "But when I'm up on stage in Las Vegas and I'm making $50,000 a week or whatever it happens to be," she says, "nobody sees the 16 years that I spent traveling around, living in a van, singing in cheap honky-tonks where people throw up on your piano and get drunk on the floor in front of you. Nobody sees the 16 years of living on the road, living at an average of less than $5,000 a year. What they see is the person up there on the stage. But every single great success was at one time a failure. And they failed and failed and failed and failed over and over again. And all great successes are a story of failure, 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 failure. Outstanding success. Boy, ain't he lucky. Isn't that right? Boy, he was lucky. He sure had the right connections. So consistency is important. And even if you don't see yourself getting the results, be consistent. Keep working. Steady, steady, steady. Knowing that you're accumulating. You're putting yourself on the side of the angels, when you're working consistently. Finally, with regard to consistency, guard your integrity as a sacred thing. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, nothing at last is sacred but the integrity of your own mind. Never compromise your integrity for anything, and never compromise your peace of mind for anything. You see, compromising your peace of mind is a way of compromising your integrity. Never do anything that disrupts your peace of mind. If it makes you feel unhappy, get out of it. Don't stay in relationships. Don't stay in jobs. Don't stay in situations that cause your peace of mind to be disrupted, because your peace of mind is the highest good that you have. And a person who practices consistency consistently structures their life so what they are doing is being true to themselves. What they are doing is living up to the very best that is in them as a human being. And that takes tremendous courage. It takes tremendous courage, because it's so easy to go along with the crowd. But you'll never be really happy unless you know that you are being true to yourself and completely true to yourself. The next C is commitment. I have found that the ability or the willingness to make a complete commitment to a job, a commitment to a relationship, a commitment to a profession, to make a commitment is one of the hardest things that human beings do. That very few people make commitments. That most people in this room, I hate to say it, most people in this room are not totally committed to their work. Oh yeah, they're doing it, they're in it, they're doing a reasonably good job. Nobody's fired them yet, right? But they're not committed. Their whole heart isn't into it. And yet no success is possible without commitment. Who is it that Emerson said that every great achievement is the triumph of enthusiasm? That the ability to commit yourself enthusiastically, wholeheartedly, 100% to what you want to do is the starting point of all achievement? That if you cannot commit yourself wholeheartedly, it probably means that it's not right for you? And that all of us in life seek for something that we can commit ourselves to. Alan Cox, in his book, The Achievers, which came out last year, found that the executives in the corporations that he studied who achieved the very most in the shortest period of time had found the proper niche for themselves and had lost themselves in their work. Dr. Shrelly Blotnick's study of self-made millionaires, 83 out of 1,500 people became self-made millionaires over 20 years. He found that the one quality that they all had in common was that they picked work that they loved, they specialized in that work, they became very good in it, and they eventually became paid very well for it, and then they held on to the money. I throw that last one in because I know a lot of you can relate to that. They held on to the money. They didn't gamble or speculate. They were very conservative with their money. They got paid more and more, and they held on to it. One of them started off cleaning toilets on the night shift for an airline. And today he's the president of the airline and makes $1,950,000 a year. Now, he's been with the airline for 35 years, but it's not difficult to become a millionaire when you're making $1,950,000 a year, even with taxes, you can still do pretty well. He found that the quality that separated these people from the ones who struggled for 20 years and weren't much further ahead than when they started was that they became totally absorbed in their work, totally committed to their work. They lost themselves in their work, and when they lifted up their head about the age of 43, 44, their accountant told them, by the way, you're worth over $1 million now. Did you know that? Most of them became wealthy without even knowing it. And so it's important that you find the work that you can commit yourself to. It's important that you find the relationship you can commit yourself to. And if you are an employer and you have people working for you who are not committed to their work, these people are like rotten apples in a barrel. I have found that people who are not committed to their jobs are people who will always cause trouble within an organization. And that people who are committed, you don't have to be the most talented and you don't have to be the best looking, you don't have to be the best educated, but if you're committed to your work, you'll do more than all the people with all of those blessings. So commitment is important. Commit yourself to your boss. Commit yourself to your job. Commit yourself to your relationships. Commit yourself to your company. Loyalty is one of the most valued single qualities in work. And Peter Drucker says that more executives fail in life because of lack of loyalty to their companies, to their boss, than for any other reason. And why is lack of loyalty? Lack of loyalty is just the expression of lack of commitment to that organization. Courage is the outstanding quality of all leaders. Courage means that you have the ability, you have the willingness to confront your fears. Because what I've found over the years is that brave people, courageous people, are not people who are not afraid. They're simply people who master their fears. They're simply people who face their fears, confront their fears. And Mark Twain said it many years ago. He said, with regard to fear, he said, do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain. Now, fear and courage tend to be habits. That if you are afraid and you give in to the fear and you back away, it becomes a habit to back away whenever you're afraid or unsure. If you're afraid and you force yourself to confront the fear, it becomes a habit to confront the fear whenever you find something that you're afraid of. And you'll find that most fears disappear when you confront them. And most fears, fears of failure, fears of rejection, fears of loss, fears of pain, fears of limitation, fears of the loss of a relationship, fears of ill health, most of these fears disappear when you confront them head on. It's almost like as you push them, they just turn into smoke and disappear. Dare to go forward in your life. Dare to go forward in the direction of fulfilling your potential. Many years ago, I was a karate student. I was also a karate instructor, and I competed in 3 international championships. And one of the things that I learned from my best karate instructors, and I studied under 6 world champions, is they told me that when you fight, always move forward. Even if you're only moving forward 1/2 inch at a time, just always move forward. He said, when you're moving forward, 100% of your attention is forward. But if you're moving backward, even 1/2 inch at a time, half of your attention is always behind you and where you're going. So always move forward. Always dare to go forward. Whenever you have a choice of either staying still and playing it safe or moving forward, move forward. Not because you'll necessarily succeed every time, because it reinforces and cements the habit of moving forward. And most people, when they have a choice of moving forward or staying playing it safe, play it safe. But I think General Douglas MacArthur said, there's no security in life, only opportunity. Life is very perverse in a way, because the more we seek security, the less we have it. And the more we seek opportunity, the more we have security. Helen Keller said this beautifully. She said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. That the tendency, she said, in the earlier parts of this statement, she said, the tendency to seek security is the low road to failure. That courage is absolutely essential. And one of the things that I used to think that if you were really courageous, eventually you got to the point where you weren't afraid. I'm going to tell you something, that if you're not a little bit afraid, at least 3 or 4 nights a week, you're not trying hard enough. If you're not falling on your face over and over again, if you're not trembling when you go to sleep with your heart pounding, then what is happening is you're not trying hard enough. You're living too far within your potential. That all really successful people live on the outside edge of what they're capable of. And it's always a little bit scary on the outside edge, because we all have feelings of uncertainty. We all have fears. We all have doubts that hold us back. But the brave person is simply the person who moves forward and keeps taking the chance. And you cannot imagine a successful person without courage. You cannot imagine a successful person without the courage to face and confront their fears and to move forward. In my experience, the fear of failure is the greatest single reason for failure in adult life. The fear of failure, the fear of making a mistake, of losing our money, our time, our effort, is what paralyzes us and holds us back. But the fear of failure is a habit which can be counteracted by the habit of courage. And if we don't overcome that fear of failure, then we'll just be like the 80-90% that do not fulfill their potential. See, the wonderful thing is only a few percentage of people fulfill their potential in any generation. And we can join those people simply by deciding to do so and doing what the other people do. It's as simple as that. If we decide to become an engineer, what do you study? You study engineering. If you want to become a better cook, what do? You study cooking. Do you try to do it all by yourself? No, you get cookbooks, you take classes, and so on and so forth. If you want to be successful, if you want to fulfill your potential, study the men and women who are fulfilling their potential and just do what they do. And finally, with regard to courage, the great expression of courage is to persist in the face of adversity, to persist when things really get rough, to be able to pick yourself up and pick yourself up over and over again. And believe me, if you decide to go for the goal in your life, you're going to get knocked down over and over and over and over again. Every single week, you're going to have heartaches and disappointments and frustrations and setbacks and obstacles. But without those obstacles, no success is possible. You see, the only way we can be successful is if we develop momentum. And we cannot develop the momentum unless we are struggling with obstacles. And struggle with adversity goes hand in hand with all great success. What most people do is they back away from adversity. But if you want to see if you're a brave person, what they call the 4 o'clock in the morning courage, wait when things go completely to pieces, when things are the worst, when your very best deal falls apart and your rent is late and you're tired and you're sick and everybody is mad at you and your car doesn't work, then it's the person that picks himself up and says, nothing is going to stop me. You know, the best quality in the world that you can develop, and I give it to you because I made it my life's habit to develop this quality. I hope I've got it, but I don't know for sure. But the quality is to develop the quality of being unstoppable. Develop the quality of being unstoppable. Say in yourself that no matter what life throws at me, it'll never stop me. No matter how rough it gets, I will never quit. And nothing will ever stop me. Make the decision that you can be tired, you can be worn out, but nothing is ever going to stop you. That's a wonderful decision. Because then no matter what life throws at you, you pick yourself up. And you say, okay, give it your best shot, as Fonzie says. Nothing is going to stop you. It's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. It's the basis of self-esteem. Well, the last C is confidence, and confidence comes as a result of everything else. If you do all the things that we've talked about, if you concentrate on becoming excellent, concentrate single-mindedly, be clear about your goals, consider other people, practice the golden rule, if you practice courage, if you practice consistency, if you practice all of these, then pretty soon you develop a level of self-confidence. See, confidence comes as a result. You don't get confidence out of a bottle, you don't get confidence from a pill, you can't learn confidence in a motivational seminar. You only get confidence by doing certain things over and over again that build a solid foundation within your own mind that you can do whatever you need to do, that you have what it takes to be successful. Self-doubt is the great paralyzer of all activity. We all have self-doubt. And the way we overcome that self-doubt is by doing the things that we would normally back away from. As I say, continue to move forward. Self-confidence begets great achievement. You cannot imagine a successful person with lacking self-confidence. That the wonderful thing is this, and I learned this from a very great man who died recently, is that if you persist until you succeed at achieving a goal that is important to you, and you complete it like a degree in school, or you wrap up a sale, or you make a career successful, you plug into your subconscious mind a success pattern. And then the subconscious mind, running on the basis of inertia, attempts to adjust your words, actions, and feelings to duplicate that success pattern. And that's why they say nothing succeeds like success. But once you've been successful, you have a pattern set down which will enable you to apply that pattern to another part of your work to be successful in that. And the more you succeed, the more this pattern of success is reinforced. And you'll finally reach the point where it's impossible for you to fail if you succeed enough times. Because you will have within you a self-adjusting mechanism that will guarantee your success. Behave confidently, as Dorothea Brand wrote in 1935 in her wonderful book, Wake Up and Live. She said, the key to success is this. She said, go confidently in the direction of your dreams. Act as though it were impossible to fail. Go confidently in the direction of your dreams and act as though it were impossible to fail. And this brings us to the most important part, if I can just summarize in 1 minute. It is this, is that your true beliefs are only and always expressed in your actions. It is not what you say or what you intend that tells what you believe, but only what you do. Your actions are always the true measure. And the interesting thing that we've learned in behavioral psychology is this, that if you do not feel self-confident, courageous, consistent, like concentrating, clear, and so on, if you don't feel like it, and most of us start off not feeling like it, if you will act the part, if you will pretend as though you have the quality already, the feelings will generate the actions, and the actions will generate the feelings. That if you will act, walk, talk, and live by the same principles and do the same things that successful men and women do, even if you doubt yourself in the initial stages, eventually you will come to the point where you actually feel to the bottom of your soul like a successful, positive, confident, cheerful, optimistic, unstoppable human being. And that's the key. Act the part until you feel the part. Do what successful people do, and do it over and over again until it becomes ingrained as a habit, and then you'll wake up one morning and you will be the success that you dream of. Thank you very much.
All right, all right. Royalty, 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 guys. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. All right, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that. I hope you guys had your pencils and pens. If not, go back and catch the replay of that, guys. Be sure to also remember to go subscribe and watch Shavi Zane, who I started out with. She's an awesome help to anybody, you know, who's attempting to navigate. You know, sometimes you just need help with the navigation piece. You know what I mean? So, hope you guys enjoyed her at the beginning. And then the Brian Tracy, 10 Key C's, my favorite is consistency. As a personal assistant, I had worked for under a lady named Lisa G, and which kind of, it did birth Enhancing Awareness Radio, because Enhancing Awareness Radio has been around since 2013. And I just, it lied dormant for a while, but as far as the revamp, I had worked on another platform as a personal assistant and, you know, came back, you know, home, which was Enhancing Awareness Radio, and I'm grateful for everything. But back to the basics this season, we have plenty of archives for you guys to listen to, many different classroom segments that we've done more, you know, teaching and everything, so... shout out again to everybody who's come through Enhancing Awareness Radio, who has dropped knowledge, wisdom, shares their experience, Mary Fox, just everybody. You know, so thank you, guys. All right, I also do readings as well, so if you need to book a reading with me, you can also contact me for a reading. My link tree is in the show notes, guys, so utilize the link tree in the show notes to see what I do. Also do paintings, queen affirmation paintings and king affirmation paintings for you guys, paintings for your own home, any size paintings, you guys. I pretty much just kind of get your personality and paint, you know, paintings of affirmation, you know, so check me out for that, you guys. So I pulled two cards to close out, right? So first card was Share a Breath, guys. This is about the divine exchange. Note your divine exchange in which, you know, you're exchanging with the universe. You know what I'm saying? Just remember everything is a reflection of yourself. Relax and have positive thoughts. Have fresh thoughts. You know what I mean? Meditation, grounding. You know, guys, now's a good time to reconnect. I was channeling Snow White lately, right? Even though they depicted her as a Disney character, but I like to think that Snow White is an energy that we all can tap into, and Snow White definitely understood the energy of nature, guys. So now's the time to reconnect with nature. Sister Manya, this is from my first Oracle deck, right back to the basics. But this is about your birthright and focus, guys. Now's the time to understand and overstand and understand, you know. Excuse me, it goes, now's the time for you to understand in order to understand, in order to you ultimately overstand your divine birthright as a spiritual being having a human experience, right? All right, guys, please join me tomorrow. I'm on every weekend. I haven't been doing it lately because now's the time to relax, remember, right? So I can't, you know, I always got to practice what I preach, right? But I've been relaxing a lot lately and taking notes and sitting on the couch, you know, being a student here lately. So join me every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. But the pop-ups during the week, oh, and I have a new schedule and stuff like that, so that's why. I've been doing other things, you know. Enhancing Awareness Radio is my baby, but I also been doing other things, so I haven't been that much in. You know, I've been kind of taking a back seat a little bit, you know, just only doing weekend shows. But during the week, I do pop-up shows, so some weeks we'll see how it goes, but that is not a consistency as far as that. So it's a pop up, right? So I may be in and I may not be in. Please subscribe to Enhancing Awareness Radio through Blog Talk Radio, and I think you can get email updates when I come on. Some people know when they get an email when I'm live, so you can, you know, utilize that. Play around with that. I think you got to set up an account and all that stuff. So anyway. But you can definitely catch me every weekend at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, if you guys want to come in, chat with me, press 1 to talk to me, if you would like to do that at any time. I love you guys. I hope this season, this is harvest season, but it's harvest season as far as your inward creativity is concerned. You know what I'm saying? We no longer preying on other people and harvest, trying to harvest their energy and all that other shit. We are harvesting the inner creativities of oneself. And the 10 key C's to personal power can definitely help you. So please utilize that for your tool belt. All right, guys. Tomorrow I have The Power of Thoughts, the article that I'll be reading to reach the world, right? All right, guys. Till next time. Peace.
I would like to remind you that life is alive.
Visions.
And it knows exactly what you need to help you overcome all the pain and strife that's inside. Sometimes you have to witness darkness to brighten your eyes, and go beyond duality to see the hidden oneness in this life you divide. Through every high and low, you have to approach life with an equal mind. Have the greatest faith and know that the grace of God will never leave your side. Although we are but little waves on the sea of time, we all possess that light of Christ that helps us realign and be divine. To truly find peace of mind, you have to be willing to go deep inside and fall in love with yourself and let that love be your guide. Only then will you find peace of mind and be sublime. And be sublime. Gotta take it one day at a time. Yeah, stay dedicated to stay on your grind. Hey, I know they hate, don't pay them no mind. Yeah, your sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out, they gon' pay out in time. Yeah, gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out. Life is filled with so many trials and so many tribulations and so many tests. So many things that you have to overcome within to shine without. You know? And I've been broke so many times. And I lost hope so many times. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man, I've cried plenty times. Plenty nights. And I didn't see no finish line. In my sights, still I grind, grind, grind. 24/7. Grind, 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 7 through 7. One day gon' pay out. Can't take a day out. Working them night shifts. And then I got laid out. I had to get it. I had to get on my grind and get out my feelings. Who am I kidding? Asking myself like, why'd you chillin'? Why'd you chillin'? I'm sacrificing my sleep. I'm manifesting these dreams. Andrea, understand the nature of this reality. Or this pseudo-reality. You are a cosmic thought. You are a vibration of thought. Your soul existence rests on a thought. And thus, if you wish to change anything in your reality, you must change your thoughts and have your actions aligned with those thoughts. You are not the universe, but you are the cosmos. Gotta take it one day at a time. Yeah, stay dedicated to stay on your grind. Hey, I know they hate. Don't pay them no mind, yeah. These sacrifices, they gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out in time. Yeah, gotta take it one day at a time. They gon' pay out.
Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. They dedicated to stay on your grind, homie. I know they hate. Don't pay out no mind, homie. Sacrifices, they gon' pay off in time, homie. Gotta take it one day at a time, baby. They dedicated and stay on your grind, baby. I know they hate, don't pay on no mind, baby. Your sacrifices, they gon' pay off in time, baby. Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. Gotta take it one day at a time, baby. Gotta take it one day at a time, homie. Gotta take it. Day at a time, baby. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out. They gon' pay out. I promise they gon' pay out.